You found the place. I'm glad.
Surprise.
Did you have to ask for directions or
maybe,
what?
Maybe. I don't have to tell you that right now.
That's funny. Well, I'm glad you eventually found it. You're actually part of the rare group of people that find the front door to this place.
Excellent. I'm pretty smart.
Yeah. If we were called Cowboys Fit, I think that'd be a better fit, but oh well.
True, true.
You made it. So, well, I'm Alex with Simply Gold, and you are here for another episode of our podcast session here. I've got a really special guest. I've got Aaron Pika.
Pika. Come take a Pika.
That's the coolest tagline I've ever heard. It's fun. It's exciting. Well, I don't even know where that came from, but I'd love to hear all about it.
I really don't know where it came from either. I think I may have put it in ChatGPT to get a little help, and it said, take a peek, and then I was like, Pika. I don't know. It just fits my personality. It's fun, it and people remember it.
Yeah, so, it totally fits your personality. Yeah. So, well, I'm so glad you're here. Give us a quick intro. I mean, who is Aaron Pika?
Oh, my goodness. I feel like this could go so many directions, but, y'all, I'm a wife. I'm a mama. I have two girls. I love being a mom. I don't know. I was a teacher. I was a second grade teacher for 6 years. I thought I would be a teacher forever. But then I decided to have my own kids. And I was like, oh, I don't want to raise these kids too. So I stayed home and realized, yeah, not for me. Yeah. Not cut out to be a stay-at-home mom. I appreciate those stay-at-home moms. Like, it is so much work. It just wasn't for me.
You gave us an honest try, though, it sounds like.
I really did. I really did. And I still continued doing it, but decided to go back to school and became a labor and delivery nurse. So, mm-hmm. Actually, I was a stay-at-home mom and a college student. So, mm-hmm. Hello. But I love being around people. I love helping people. Decided to be a labor and delivery nurse for 10 years.
So was that your first job, like real career or whatever you call it? Like, so you
teaching? Could,
no. So what came first? Was it the teaching?
Yep.
Okay. So you went to school
to
be
a
teacher.
Became a teacher for 6 years.
Walk into a school and be a teacher.
Yep. Yeah. Did that.
And what grade were you teaching?
I taught second grade.
Okay.
A bunch of 7-year-olds are so cute. And
that's what my wife teaches.
She teaches second?
Yeah.
Oh, they're so sweet.
It's so, like, so I go to like the events at the school, and my kid who's in second grade, I call him the mayor. Because all these kids run up and they're like, Henry, you know, and I'm just like, this is so weird. And then all the, because I'm the husband, all the other teachers are like, hey, Mr. Malik, how are you doing? Or whatever. Mm. I'm like, stop talking to me. Like, it's
they're
weird.
So cute.
It's awkward. So,
they're cute.
I don't know how you did it.
I don't know how I did it either, but I knew I was not going to have my own kids and then still teach 22 other kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, not. I was done. They didn't pay me enough.
Yeah.
Teachers do a lot of stuff.
They do.
But I did
things. They did papers. They worked in the summer. Did you do tutoring and all that?
I did tutoring. But you know why I really quit? I probably really mentally quit like year 4 because, you know, I'm older, just saying. So it's been a long time. I quit in 2006. Mm-hmm. And I, like, it was back in the day when you wrote lesson plans on paper and you could create all the things. Well, then the state comes in and they create all the lesson plans for you.
Right.
And they take all that creativity away for teachers. So
yeah. And I think ultimately it's like the job isn't teaching. It's actually trying to fit within the guidelines that the state has to get funding and all that. So yeah. It's just like, so I also went to school to be a teacher for a year and a half.
Know.
We didn't talk about this, did we, in our face-to-face? So I went to East Texas State A&M University, okay. Commerce, for a year and a half to study music education to become a high school band director.
No way. Mm-hmm. Wait, what did you play?
I played all the brass except for French horn.
I was in band too.
I was really good at it. Like, so, and you know, it was what sucked was I was so good at it in high school, right? So then it seemed like, oh, go to college, become a music teacher.
Yes.
Right? So then I remember a year and a half in, like, finally being so lost. Like, I was in my band director's office, and he's like, this isn't for you, is it? And I'm like, I don't think this is for me. Like, I love playing the tuba, which is what I ultimately played at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I hate learning theory, or I don't hate learning about music. I just want to play my thing, right? But I didn't want to be, like, in the choir, the orchestra, or, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That also wasn't my path.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So how did you realize that teaching was just, you were done?
I knew I was done when they took all the things that I loved out of it. Mm-hmm. Once I couldn't do my own lesson plans and figure out my own students to meet their needs,
right.
I was like, I'm out. And then I really just wanted to have a baby. I was like, I want to have a baby and be a stay-at-home mom and have five kids. That's what I thought. Yeah, well, that it didn't happen exactly how right. I wanted it, but I did get a baby after lots of infertility stuff and issues with that. So excited to have a baby. And I was just like, I need to be able to stay home with her.
Right.
So it was a good decision.
That's cool. That's very cool. I love kids. I've got two of my own. I've got an 8-year-old, a 2-year-old. And I just think they're the coolest things. They're like little drunk people.
Little drunk people. And they grow up. My youngest is 12. I have two girls. Charlotte is 12. And my oldest just turned 18 this week. I'm like, I have an 18-year-old. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I have an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's still not an adult. She's not paying herself her insurance, so she's still a kid.
She still lives at home.
Yeah. She just turned 18. She should be graduating this year, but she graduated a year early, mm-hmm. and she's going off to college in the fall.
That's cool.
She wants to be a nurse. I'm like,
That's what you did.
I know.
So then after the teacher, then you became a nurse. And how do you decide you wanted to become a nurse?
First off, I have two sisters that are nurses, and I have a mom that has a PhD in nursing. So it kind of made sense. But I think just with issues with getting pregnant, and I actually, when my oldest turned one, I got pregnant and had a miscarriage, and there were just so many medical things. I was like, I just want to be in the medical field. I want to be able to help other women. Mm-hmm. I only had the passion to be in women's really labor and delivery is all I wanted. And so, yeah, I went back to school, and that's what I did. Yeah. Did it for 10 years. Loved it.
Wow, that's
absolutely
a long time.
Loved it. Yep.
I fainted getting blood drawn. This is a true story.
You did not.
Yeah, I did. So I was.
Wow.
So I used to sit up, like, in the chair,
okay.
and then the nurse would come to the side and then draw the blood. Well, I looked at it, and it made my stomach so queasy that I fainted. And then so from this day, I tell the nurse, like, I have to lay down. You know, I'm afraid of the needles. Like, I also had, like, a B12 shot in my butt.
Yeah. Those are amazing.
It hurts so bad. I'm like, oh, my.
You are such a wimp. That is why men do not have babies. So.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Don't tell people that.
Don't tell people that. Yeah. Did you also do locums? Travel nursing? Did you do
that? No. I wanted to be home with mm-hmm. my kiddos, and no.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, so I sold nurse recruiting. For a long time. So I through that experience, I learned about, you know, just the hard life of nursing. It's the long hours. The shifts are crazy.
Holidays.
Yeah. Holidays are not at home. And, you know, my nurses, they would leave their job to go across the street to make a dollar more an hour. Like, they just weren't local or loyal to anybody. And yeah, it's interesting. I did recruiting for about 10 years. So while you were nursing or doing nursing, I was recruiting nursing. I probably called you once or twice.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, please come work.
Hey, I was very loyal. I stayed at the same hospital all 10 years. So
here local in DFW?
Yep, Baylor, Dallas. I was born there, worked there. Both my sisters mm-hmm. born there, worked there.
See, that's a cool place, though. I was trying to get nurses to go to like middle of nowhere California. You know,
well, that's why that was the mistake. You're going to recruit. Don't bring them there.
It's like begging nurses to go to like fly to Orlando. And they're like, oh, yeah, Orlando. I was like, yes. But then drive 4 hours south into the Everglades. And there's a small little town.
No.
In
Florida. No.
I want you to go work at.
No. I mean, we were not paid the best.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a safe hospital.
Yeah.
Very safe hospital. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Wasn't all about the money.
Yeah, it's, you know, at some point, it can't be. I mean, and that's one thing I've really been grateful to come to terms with my business. It's like we're way past the point where, like, money matters, you know? Like, now it's just about how many people can we help,
right?
You know?
I mean, it is on up there with oxygen, mm-hmm. I will say. I mean, money matters, right?
It does.
But it's not all about the money.
Right.
If you're chasing that and you do get it, you're still not going to be happy.
You're still going to be broke. I mean, like, there's still times where it's like, maybe I should, you know, not go to Vegas that week. Saving. I'm just kidding.
He's not going to do that, though. Just saying. He's not.
Not at $88 a round trip. I'm telling you, you're on the wrong website.
You're going to help me with this. There's a lot of hookups we got going on here.
Yep. Even the travel agents don't do it the way I do it.
All right, I'm in. Oh my gosh.
So you became a teacher, realized, man, this isn't for me. Did the stay at home mom thing. You know, this isn't me either. Then became a nurse.
Yep.
Then decided this isn't for me either. You know, so what was the next evolution after that?
I really just think that, I was a labor and delivery nurse for 10 years. I thought that that's just what you did. I thought that you stayed at a job that you loved, and I did love it. I thought I would do that until I would retire. But honestly, coming from a family of nurses, I never knew there were other options. Mm-hmm. And so that's when someone introduced actually an energy product to me, and they were like, hey, try this. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll try it. And then they asked if I wanted to make money doing it. And I was like, wait, what? No.
Where were you when you got that opportunity? Like, do you remember, like, I was in a bar or a restaurant, or I was at a networking event, or I was...
Okay, well, crazy thing is actually they shared it with my sister. And it was a coffee, and she was like, I don't drink coffee. And I was like, well, I drink coffee. And so I looked it up. I actually sent the ingredients. I don't like to tell people this part because I'm so like weird about it. But I sent the ingredients to a pharmacist friend of mine, waiting for his approval. And once he was like, yeah, that's great. You can drink that. And I was like, okay, perfect. I'm going to try this. So when I called the person to order, I was just going to be a customer. I was like, right. Yeah, I want to try this. And she was like, well, you could make money sharing this. And I was like, no, like I have a real job, like not interested. And then she was like, even if you could make a little bit of money to pay for the coffee or to make $200, $500, like I started thinking like, oh my gosh, well, I would love to not have to pick up extra shifts at the hospital. Right. I would love to be home with my girls more, my husband more, my family and stuff. And so I thought, well, okay, why not, you know? So I gave it a shot, had no idea that I literally was made for this. Mm-hmm. Like in my first 4 months, like I'm not making any like income claims or anything crazy. And there's nothing crazy special about me, but I literally replaced my nursing salary in my first 4 months because I was sharing it with everyone I loved. Right. And I was like, I can't even believe this. Mm-hmm. I can't. And then 7 months after I said yes to that, I had the opportunity to walk away from my career and do this because right. I had the finances coming in to be able to make choices. Mm-hmm. And I was so scared, again, coming from a family of nurses. I was so scared to tell my mom for some reason. And I went to my parents, which they live next door. But I went over there. We're super close.
my next door neighbor's kids live across the street. Okay, so see? It's all good. There I don't want my kids to live next door.
But. Hey, well, my sister lives diagonal from me. My
That's not weird. They're not like, hey, what are you doing this weekend?
No,
you're
my
like,
parents still work.
I'm out of town. They're like, no, you're not. You're not.
No, it's not weird. It's awesome, actually. My kids will be like, hey, can we have ice cream? I'm like, I don't know. Go see if they have any.
Yeah. No, so I see the kids. So next door neighbor's kids live across the street. So their kids, yeah, you see them like racing back and forth, going to grandma's house and stuff like that. So, and we live on a dead end street. So it's really easy for them to play outside. So, yeah, no, when you said that, I was like, that's really crazy. But no, I think that's cool. Like I said, I like kids. So it's all good.
It's fun. Yeah. We're not in, I mean, I always check with my husband. I'm like, are you sure? Like, these are your in-laws.
My parents live 3 miles away, which is 20 minutes on like a stop and go, like, you know, like within the suburbs.
Yeah.
So it's far enough to where they're like, hey, can you come over real quick and help me put something in the attic? I'm like, no, man, I'll come over on Sunday when I'm coming over to swim in your pool.
Yeah, it hasn't been. It's been fun. It's been great. It's all my kids know. So it's kind of fun. They think everybody should live, you know, right with their family. So, but I do remember, I literally asked my parents, I'm like, I think I'm going to quit my job. And I thought my mom was going to be like, you cannot do that. Like, I didn't have the option to go to college. I didn't even know people didn't go to college. I know that sounds stupid now, but I just thought that's what you did. Like my parents were always like, which college are you going to? Are you going to college? Right.
In fact, when I switched majors, because I did graduate college with a degree, but I was going to school for a year and a half, as mentioned, as a music ed major. But when I left that school, my mom's translation was that I had quit school like altogether. So at that moment, they stopped paying for me. So I actually had to earn my way back into school and pay for it myself. So I mean, I'm a little bit butthurt about that to this day, but it was also really cool because I was like, no, I wanted to go to college. You know, I just didn't want to spend my money on something I wasn't passionate
about. You
didn't
want to spend your own money.
So no, I didn't. I mean, I didn't want a degree in music. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like, so I kept doing sales things as jobs, right? So like I got good at it, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm 40 now. I've been doing sales for 25 years or whatever. Like now it's really easy, but it was really sucky back then, you know? So, I mean, how do you, you know, so teacher, nurse, and then now like an outside, or I mean, I don't know how you want to describe it, but like an outbound sales role where you have to like talk to somebody, get them interested about something, and then have them transact, right, to make money. Like, how do you make that transition?
I mean, I feel like it's just about relationships. Mm-hmm. It's about talking to people. I might have something that's for them, and I might not. So, like, when I started in this industry of, I mean, I guess you could call it entrepreneurship. I don't know what you want to call it.
My dad calls it entrepreneur. He thinks
wow.
that's funny.
I'm well, like, there is a lot of shit in there. Can I say that?
Yeah.
No? You can okay, say sorry. That. Yeah, so I just think that, I don't know. I don't. What are we saying?
So we're talking about, so how do you make that transition from, you know, going to kind of like an introverted role, right? Into, and just completely changing your mindset into now having to be a face of in a market, right? In networking, in out in the, and talk to people and get them interested. Like how did you achieve?
I don't think that's hard for me. I don't think it's hard to talk to people, mm-hmm. but I also think that I'm genuinely interested in other people's stories. Mm-hmm. And so again, if I was talking to someone that I'm so far from sales, because if you try to sell something to somebody, they're right. just going to push back, right. right? But if I have a gift to offer them, great. If not, I'm not going to even share it.
Right.
You know, so it's just one of those things. I've been in this industry now for, oh my goodness, 6.5 years. Mm-hmm. And as we've switched from, you know, just a coffee product, and now we have turned into not just consumable energy, but renewable energy, solar, that I knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. But I do know that everybody, if you get deep enough, they're looking for more time
right.
and more money.
Right.
Right. So that they can do the things that they're more passionate about.
Right.
And even though it's not all about money, you do need money to be able to do most of those things mm-hmm. that you truly are passionate about.
Right.
So I just think it's the conversations, it's the relationships, and building those is what leads you to either, you know, people purchasing from you or joining you in your team or whatever it is. But it really is, I just think I have a gift for listening to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I can probably guess that you probably work less, like, mentals, you know, the mental grind, the physical grind, because you're in a much happier space. It comes more natural to you, right? It's more easy for you just to talk to somebody rather than having to, you know, stay up late, do plus and plans. I mean, like I'm a people person myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a taskmaster, which is what I call somebody who does like the spreadsheets and the invoicing and what, like, it could take me an hour to write a simple email. You know, so I'm having to learn to delegate that to other team members where I know it can take them 5 minutes, right? Because so now as my team is growing, I'm having to be more consistent with where I'm most valuable, you know? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I'm starting to translate that into my personal life too. It's like there's areas where I'm not valuable either to the people around me or I'm not, or to myself. I'm not giving myself the value or making, and that translates to happiness, right? So
right.
like by doing something I don't want to do, you know, I'm not getting any happier. I'm not resting. I don't feel refreshed the next day. You know, so I've been trying to just keep myself in my natural space. And you are way into networking. You are all in it. When did you start getting involved just in networking in general? When did you have that kind
okay,
of first
so
moment?
What's crazy is I built an entire I like to say empire, but whatever that looks like, a successful business mm-hmm. on social media alone. That is all I ever did was social media. I did Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, did all those things and was really, really successful with it.
And not ads. You're talking about just being
no,
on it.
No, I don't even know what you're like, saying when you say ad, like no.
Yeah. So you didn't pay any money. You
no.
basically just posted on social.
And went live
right.
and like TikTok, you know, maybe some little dances. Don't go back and look, y'all. It was trendy for a short bit. Yeah, no, I literally just showed up on there. I was so consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we launched, you know, renewable energy and solar options, we're so different from typical sales.
Right.
I could not do that on social media. And so actually the CEO of my company was like, you need to get out there. Like, people need to see your face. And I'm like, what? Like, this isn't on TikTok or something like that. And so actually Jennifer Muscovich invited me to a Master Networks meeting. And I went the first time and I was like, what is this?
And when was this?
This was March last year.
Okay, so I had just joined January. So you joined 2 months after I did.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Well, I went and I was like, no one prepared me that you had to speak for 30 seconds. I wanted to crawl under the chair. I was like, I don't even know what to say. Like, we had just started with solar and I didn't even have it. I didn't even know what a tagline was. And they're like clapping twice. And I was like, what am I doing? This is not for me.
If you don't have a tagline, you have to say my body's sexy.
I would say that probably, but I was like, what is happening here? And then I met Gary and I met a lot of people in Master Networks and they were like, you should launch your own chapter. Mm-hmm. Like, this group should. It wasn't me that started it. And I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't know there were other options. I really didn't. And right. So that's how we started. And it has been the best thing. It's been amazing. The connections, the people.
Yeah.
So the chapter that I'm in, we have been together. It'll be almost a year in May.
So, you know, a lot of our customers, they try different things, right? They try running ads. They try networking. You know, share a little bit about what that gap is from day one signing up, becoming a member, to really getting a result back in time. You know, the face-to-faces that you had, and then just getting any type of investment. So I'm just trying to paint a picture of, like, it takes time. You know, what was that time for you like?
Oh, it's still taking time. Mm-hmm. It still takes time. But I just see it. It's so different social media wise. Like, those are cold market people versus you go in a room of people and you're that energy that is exchanged in there and you sit with someone. I mean, hello, during our face to face, we both cried, right?
Right.
I mean, you get to know these people in their heart. It's not just what they're selling. Like, right. It isn't about that at all. You get to know them so much that when you are out and about in the real life, you immediately think of them. When someone's like, oh, I have a rock chip, you know, and you're like, oh, I have somebody to hook you up with. Mm-hmm. And it's because you've already met that person. You know they're a good person and you want to help them. But I don't know. It's not just business. Like, there are people that I've met in here that just that beyond the business aspect of this, like, they're friends. Mm-hmm. I talk to a lot of these people every single day. I mean, recently I got to be in a delivery. I never would have said that, like, you know, a year ago that I would have been close enough to somebody in our, you know, Master Networks where I got to be part of that delivery.
Right.
Which is really, really cool.
Yeah. No, I'm really inspired just by you and Kendra both share a similar story. I mean, I would have thought Kendra had been doing networking for at least 3 years. And she, same thing. Like, she started way after me. I'm the one who's way late to the party. I barely did Master Networks in 2023. I went to one chapter.
You just didn't go all
in. Nope. I went to one chapter once a week. I didn't really do much face-to-faces. I mean, I just, you know, whatever. And so, and we did really well, right? But I thought that was it. So then I went to the Friday chapter, and I saw the energy, met new people. Mm-hmm. And that's when I came into 2024, and we decided we were quadruple downing on Master Networks and networking and bringing in new customers. But I'm 3.5 years in now. And, you know, like what you described with your career, you know, tried something, didn't work out. Even those 8 years, like, you gave it, you know, you made money and it was, you know, it was a career and all that, but it didn't, you weren't happy. You didn't solve for the future yet. You were just solving for that moment in time, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with what we're building with networking and the friends. It's like, it takes time to do that. It took me 4 months before I ever got one single referral. But people were honest with me. They're like, we got to make sure that you're legit or you're here or whatever, you know? And I was like, all right, you know, that sucks.
Yeah, but then what happened?
But then it blew up. Now I can't even maintain it all. I mean,
I know.
I said 3 face-to-faces today sitting at the bar, like, just trying to have a face-to-face with Emily. And literally people were like, I just, you know, I want to make sure I set up a face-to-face or whatever. So, like, now it's, like, uncontrollable, but it's a blessing.
That is a blessing.
And I made a lot of really great friends. I mean, and you touched on it briefly. I mean, I had a lot of feelings when you and I talked. And they were just holding on tight. And yeah, I not too scared. I tell people all the time, I'm like, Erin made me cry. Don't have a face-to-face there, and she'll make you cry.
Oh, no. Maybe that's why I haven't had as many this week. Just kidding.
She'll make you cry. But no, it's like I just felt like you got me at that moment. You know, I was like, yeah. She gets it. It's hard. It sucks. You know, and no, you can't all do this by yourself. Is there anybody in your immediate family that helps and participates with your solar and what you do, or are you kind of just by yourself?
I mean, of course, my husband's my biggest supporter. I couldn't do what I do without him, but most of my family is pretty supportive. Mm-hmm. They're pretty supportive. When I thought I was leaving nursing, I was scared to tell all of them. Mm-hmm. But no, they've all been like, you were made for this. You love people.
Yeah.
And I do. I genuinely do. I love being around people. I'm an extrovert. I get energy by being around other people. But I also think that, you know, behind the smile and the excitement and stuff is, you know, there's a lot of pain that I've been through, but I just believe that pain needs to be turned into purpose. And you have to be brave enough to share your story to make it relatable to other people, hopefully to inspire them. So I try to do that, you know, and that's why face-to-faces, I think, you know, when you said you've been doing all these face-to-faces, well, people get to know you. Mm-hmm. They get to know your pain. They see what your goals are and how you're moving forward. I think that touches people. Yeah. I did a face-to-face with someone. They were like, I just assumed that everything in life was easy for you. And I was like, wow.
They said that to you?
They did.
Wow.
They just assumed I was like, listen, I've lost over 100 pounds. I hated who I was. Mm-hmm. And I also have a really high dose of perspective. I think that, you know, on a really bad day, I've practiced gratitude for so long, but there's moments in life. I mean, I was a labor and delivery nurse. 99% of it is happy, happy, happy. But that 1% is really, really sad. And so I can take that 1% and think about those moments, which I won't say on here because I don't want to upset anyone. But that 1% can change my perspective instantly and make me grateful for where I am in life. So I choose to smile.
Yeah.
You know, I choose to be happy. I could be. Nobody wants to be around anyone that's, you know, negative.
You remind me of somebody that I met a long time ago. He sold Herbalife.
Okay.
And he was a top earner. I mean, he had it all right. He kind of looked like Jim Carrey, but like as the mask.
Wow.
Yeah. He had like this goofy grin.
Please tell me it doesn't have to do with how I look.
No.
No. Where's he going?
I'm just
with
describing this guy. he, imagine like the suit that doesn't quite fit. It's like too baggy, you know, but like looks like it got off Ross, you know, from Ross, the rack at Ross. Cheap ass shoes, you know, but he clearly a top earner. But anyway, so I remember saying to him, I was like, dude, you're always happy. Like, what's that about or whatever? And he's like, man, I could have gotten into a fender bender on my way to work this morning. He said, you would never know. He's like, every time somebody asked me how I'm doing, I would say it's all good. And he'd have that shitty grin on his face. Like,
love it. I love it.
And I never forgot it. And I was like, man, that's really cool. So, you know, that's how I've tried to live my life, especially through like just face to faces and how people perceive me. It's like, no matter how bad it is, I just want them to see me as somebody that's happy and pushing through. And I think just to go back to kind of, you know, me breaking down, you know, when we had our face to face, it's like, you know, that's on me to explore ways to have outlets and to, you know, grieve with whatever I'm going through or find ways to, you know, just kind of, you know, bring it back down, and make it more real. So I'm rambling a little bit, but I think you understand what I'm trying to describe. It's
absolutely.
Like,
well, I think tears are strength. You know, just because you cry and you're sad doesn't mean you're not a happy person.
Right.
I think people see that differently, but I see that as vulnerability, mm-hmm. you know, and you grow from that. And I think when we share those stories, that's what connects all of us together.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'll tell you, anytime I need a good cry, I'll call you.
That's fine. I'll buy you a drink.
I love crying.
And I'll drink water next to you.
My eyes just didn't get all like blotchy and weird because people could always tell that you just stop crying.
You don't even have makeup on though. You don't even have to worry about the black streaks. Nah, at that point, I don't care what everybody thinks.
That's funny. Well, tell us more about, you know, your product, your company, all the things.
So
what makes it so special? What's the mission for 2024 and going into 2025?
Wow. My personal mission is to stay uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't that sound crazy? Like, it sounds so scary. Even this podcast this morning, I was like a little nervous to do this. And I'm like, no, it's so uncomfortable. Like, I am all in. That's what I'm going for, right? That's when you know you're going to grow. But yeah, so I told, you know, I told y'all earlier about the coffee and energy product, and then the pandemic happened. It went a little crazy. Products in the industry just went down. And thankfully, I have a CEO that doesn't change, and we evolve. And so now it's our company's launching June 1st as the Good Energy Company. And I think the coolest thing is we are partnership marketing. We are all about family and friends, doing everything different than typical sales, mm-hmm. typical solar. I don't sell anything. I literally connect people to our sales team.
Yep.
So it's super fun to be able to go out there. If it's for them, great. If it's not, great. I really don't care. I just want people to be educated to get the knowledge so they can make a decision for them.
Right.
So that's basically what I do. I just connect people and
I learned very late in life that being a connector is way more powerful than being good in sales.
And it feels better.
I don't want
to sell anything.
It's easier.
Yeah.
And all those things.
Yeah. I will say sometimes I think growth happens when you start to just not care what other people think, you know, because mm-hmm. you said something about this being easier than maybe being a nurse or a teacher. Well, I wouldn't say easier because I have to be driven.
But I think what I was trying to describe is when you do something and you dread doing it,
gotcha.
that ebb and flow. So like,
okay.
Because I've had other jobs too, right? This is my fifth startup, you know, so I've done other things. And I just compare my current life of like hating getting up in the morning. And it's like, ugh, I got to go to work. And I'm not looking forward to, like, I haven't shared that kind of story since January 2023. Mm. I've been so pumped to go to work. Like I look forward to Mondays. Now, I'm tired at the end. Like, I'm beat to hell at the end of the week. But then I regroup. I sleep a lot of Saturdays, you know, for a long time. I eat my favorite meal. So my favorite meal, I call it my prison food.
Oh,
I call it like the meal I would eat if I were on death row, is a ribeye steak, Velveeta mac and cheese, and crescent rolls.
No.
So I eat the whole plate, and then I go take a 3-hour nap. That's my Saturday routine.
This is amazing.
I'm so tired.
That's awesome.
But then I'm so excited. So I think that's what I was trying to describe. It's like it's not easier of a job. Right. But it's easier on your mental health, your physical health. You know, it's like I'm excited to spring out of bed, go to networking. Daryl Bowen, who you know of, right?
He's amazing.
He described networking to me as he says he has 2 cups of coffee a day. His first cup is the coffee he makes at home like this.
Yeah.
And the second cup is going to Master Networks. And I was like, OK, that's a really great way to describe it. I was unfortunate my first year in Master Networks because I had a crappy chapter. I mean, it is what it is. Right. Like it just didn't. It wasn't thriving. It wasn't all the things, but it was all I knew, right? So
right.
Now that I've changed my perspective, things have changed for me, and I think that's what's really helped.
Yeah, I think it matters who you surround yourself with. If you find that home in your chapter, run with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I need Daryl Bowen's first cup of the coffee to be my coffee. Just saying, a little shout out there. No, I totally agree. I think that, you know, some people need a job, and if that fulfills them, great. I just wanted more. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to do bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew I needed to step out. But when I wake up every single morning, like, I am excited.
Yeah.
I think you just fall in love with the process of what you're doing, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that every second of every day I'm, like, happy to be doing it.
Mm.
But I know the big picture.
Right.
This is where I'm meant to be.
You know, so I get made fun of a lot because I go to this Vegas thing, right? It's like Alex is always in Vegas, always this thing. And I'm going to share this story, and I want to hear your response or what your opinion of it is. But these little micro trips, you know, that I take, that is actually a very clear definition of success that I set out several years ago when I started this company. The way that I described it was, you know, how do you define success, or how do you know that you're doing well, right? I used to tell people, like, if I can just get on a flight to Vegas whenever I want, eat at any restaurant that I want, not have to ask for time off, ask my boss, check in with, you know, whatever, you know, still be responsible, take my laptop, do whatever I need to do, but like just have that true freedom to jet set, do my thing and come back, then that I will know at that moment I'm successful. My last trip, Vegas trip, was literally 48 hours or 20, or it was like 30 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I flew out. There was a steakhouse that just opened in December. I've always wanted to go. Packed up my best friend. I said, we're going to the steakhouse. Literally flew to Vegas that morning, went to steak dinner, and flew back the next morning. and it was just to eat steak dinner. But like to me, like sitting in that steak dinner with my best friend, I was like, dude, I've made it. And we didn't, you know, we didn't spend all this crazy money.
Right.
You know, but it just having that freedom to be able to go do the thing and come back and not feel bad about it, not yep. have to catch up with all this work, not to have to ask for forgiveness, permission, all those things. That's my definition of how I knew that I'd been, you know, made it to where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So with that example, you know, how do you define, you know, when you know that, you know, it's like, I've got it, I've made it, you know, and it could be about your kids, your family, or like, what is that one thing where you're like, you know what, I've got it, I've made it.
I feel like, first off, that story, I mean, everybody's a little bit different, right? Like, right. I wouldn't have the same thing with Vegas, but that, like, fuels you,
right?
Like, you know, okay, I get to do this. I've accomplished, and it fuels you to come back and work even harder. For me, I think it would just be the time freedom, you know, that I get to create with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of what that looks like. I mean, I have some bigger dreams, some bigger things, you know, on my vision board, if you will, that
care
I want to do.
One of them?
One of the big ones is, I mean, I love women's health, even though I'm not, I still am an RN, I have a degree, but I want to go to, I'd like to go to Africa, specifically Ethiopia, and do like women's mission, medical missions. But I need, you know, I need finances for that. I need the time for that. It takes a little longer. It's not just right. a quick trip to Vegas and back. But I'm really passionate about helping women in that area.
Yeah.
I just think that would be the coolest thing to be able to experience different medical missions all over. But I'm a little partial to, I have a niece adopted yeah. from Ethiopia. So I just think it would be really cool to be able to go
there. And you're building that life right
that.
Now. Because your profession that you have now mm-hmm. would allow for that through, I guess, like residuals or however that's set up, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's the freedom. No, but at the end of the day, like, I'm 40 now, and I've just, my midlife crisis mm-hmm. was realizing that, like, time is my most valuable thing, and I cannot no more negotiate that against something that doesn't make me happy,
right.
no matter what it is.
Yep. I said that earlier, time.
Yep. I'm late. I'm late to the party. I mean, I am. I'm a late entrepreneur. I mean, I've been trying to do this for a long time. But man, I wish I would have started when I was 20, 21, 22.
It wouldn't be the same. I think that it's the
yeah,
perfect
I
timing
believe that
now.
Too.
Hey, I'm 45. So quit saying you're 40. But I think that it's, you know, everything led up to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could go back and be like, oh, if I would have done this or if I would. No, it wouldn't be the same story.
Right.
You know, and I think we go through the things we go through, you know, for that reason. So we learn from those things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's no right answer to life, I tell you that. But I don't know. I have a fear of death, if I'm just being honest with you.
You do?
I do.
Can I tell you my biggest fear?
Sure.
Okay, my biggest fear, I believe, and everybody believes whatever, but I believe that God made me to be amazing and to do amazing things. And my biggest fear is that I won't reach that potential before mm-hmm. I die.
That's exactly what I'm describing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just scared to die. And
no,
I'm like,
not afraid of going to heaven or wherever.
Okay.
I'm afraid of getting to the end. So, gosh, what's his name? His name is, I forget his name. Anyway, it doesn't matter
know.
His name, but,
okay.
but he described it. When he described it, I was like, oh my God, that is what I'm freaked of. So, and he would say like, you know, don't be afraid of starting late, right? He's an entrepreneur. Like, don't
be
afraid to start.
Of not
like,
starting.
Be afraid of getting to the end,
yeah.
looking yourself in the mirror, and it's too late at yeah. that point. You waited too long to get started, you know. Yeah, like, and there's nobody that can help you at that point, you
yeah.
know. So, you know, we had a recent passing in our chapter, right, or in our master networks, and it was just another reminder. It's like, oh my gosh, like you just never know. Treat people with kindness, respect, work hard, don't
smile.
Smile often, and like just don't miss a day.
Yeah, and don't always just think of like yourself. You know, so many people are so worried, and I know everybody has life going on, but it's amazing what a smile for somebody else could do. Or
right.
You just don't know what's going on in their world, and I feel like we have such an impact on other people's lives. We just have to create that. We have to share it.
Right.
We have to smile or tell them, you know, give them a compliment.
Right.
I never forget those things. It matters in other people's lives.
Yep, it does. And you never know what other people are going through. So
yeah.
sometimes even just a hug can make their whole day.
Yep.
So, well, how do people get in touch with you? How do people get just any information that you want to share about your business?
I would love to connect.
A website? Or,
yeah. You can even just go. So my last name spelled a little weird, but Aaron Pika. Pika, come take a Pika. But it's PYKA.com. You can just go there and you can see all my handles except for my LinkedIn that needs to be added to that. wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
That's going to be cool. I'm excited for you.
You can just get everything on AaronPika.com and then that way you can find all the...
And you're local in the DFW area. What part of town do you live in?
I'm actually Rowlett, Rockwall area. But I am always in my
North
corporate...
Area.
Yeah, corporate headquarters for me are Frisco, Plano, plus all Master Network stuff is this area too.
Perfect. Frisco. Well, I am so happy that you came out. I hope this was painless.
This was awesome. I mean, I was nervous, but it's not about me. It's if I can inspire one other person, I did my job. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. So thanks so much for joining. It's a beautiful day out in Texas. So it's going to be a busy week with networking.
Woohoo!
How many more networkings are you going to go to? Well, tomorrow's Friday.
So
that's my favorite day of the week. Yeah, I'll be there. And then there's a Denton chapter that's forming on Mondays.
Oh, fun.
So I'm excited for that. So, well, thanks so much, Aaron. I really appreciate you joining, and we'll catch you guys next time.